Are we there yet? Watching for signs of economic recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Worker productivity slowed in the first quarter, the Labor Department reports this morning. That means companies might need to start hiring again to keep up with demand. Julia Coronado is senior economist at BNP Paribas in New York. She joins us live. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So, Julia, what does it mean that worker productivity has slowed down?
Well, this is a very typical pattern in a recovery. In the early stages of recovery, businesses try to get as much out of the existing workforce and, in fact, are cutting back on their workforce. And then as the recovery progresses, they reach a limit as to how much they can get out of their existing workforce, and they actually need to start hiring workers. And that's what we're starting to see.
So that's as demand goes up.
Exactly. As the economy picks up and production ramps up, they're able to get less from existing workers and need to start hiring.
We got the word this morning that jobless claims fell last week for the third straight week. And tomorrow, of course, we'll get unemployment numbers for the month of April. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting to see?
Well, I think we're going to see a pretty decent gain in overall hiring. We're looking for 165,000, which is about what we saw in March. Now, still a lot of this is going to be the hiring of temporary workers to conduct the 2010 census. So it's not all good permanent jobs. But we do expect that the private sector will also add about 70,000 jobs. And so that's not a very robust pace of hiring, but we have turned a corner and we're actually moving in a positive direction now.
European banks are meeting today to try to deal with the debt situation there. How is Europe's handling of the economic crisis different than the way that we handled it?
Well, what we're seeing right now is a little bit of indecision on the part of European policymakers. And I think what that highlights is it's a lot easier, for example, for the Federal Reserve to make decisions with regard to the U.S. domestic economy. It's a lot harder to ask German and French policymakers to make decisions that would benefit, say, Greece and not their own economy. So part of the decision reflects that it's a group of independent nations rather than just one nation. And so we've seen less forcefulness in their actions, and we're starting to see that lead to a lot of nervousness across global financial markets.
Economist Julia Coronado with BNP Paribas. Thank you, Julia.
It's my pleasure.
We mentioned Europe's central bank is meeting today, trying to set policy and stabilize the situation there. There'd been speculation the bank would announce emergency aid plans, but that didn't happen. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports.
Like the Federal Reserve in the US, the European Central Bank has the power to calm markets by pumping money into the system. But the president of the ECB, Jean-Claude Trichet, doesn't believe there's any reason to be concerned.
We did not discuss at all anything like a default or such default procedure. On the contrary, as you know, we are firmly on the side of the fact that Greece will not default.
The Greek parliament is currently debating a controversial loan package, which will force it to make big spending cuts and tax rises. Marie Duron is an economist at Ernst & Young and believes other countries may also be at risk.
The UK is one of the countries with very high deficits. Currently, the situation is much more manageable than in Greece. But if the markets were to take the view that the current plans for deficit reductions are not enough, then there could be some tension indeed.
Portugal and Spain have come under intense scrutiny as it becomes more expensive for them to borrow money. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Worries over European debt are rattling Wall Street this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down almost 1% to 10,762. The Nasdaq down 1.3% to 2371. The S&P 500 down almost 1.25% to 1151.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to hold meetings online to collaborate in real time. More at gotomeeting.com/market. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. and by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
A ship carrying a 100-ton concrete and steel dome has arrived at the oil leak site in the Gulf of Mexico. BP plans to drop the dome over the leak site. In the meantime, a major oil industry gathering is going on in Houston today. It's all about offshore drilling. Our own Rob Schmitz is there. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Rob, what are people saying about how this spill will impact their industry?
Well, many here are pretty worried that this is going to lead to a more regulated industry. They think their industry is over-regulated as it is. And with more regulations, they say the cost of doing business will increase, leading to higher prices at the gas pump for consumers.
What kind of regulation are they worried about?
Well, I think most here agree it's going to lead to a requirement for more safety measures on these offshore rigs. You know, I had a chance to speak to a man named David Doig. He's the CEO of Opito, a company that sets global safety standards for the oil industry. He said he wondered why many countries don't require what's called an acoustic switch. Now, this is a safety device that some say may have prevented this spill. The U.S. doesn't require companies to install it, and consequently, it wasn't installed on the Deepwater Horizon rig. You know, Doig told me that only Norway and Brazil require oil companies to install these devices.
The question needs to be asked is, why only in two countries when we have a global industry where all the players are working across all the boundaries?
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Houston. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks.
And finally, mommy blogs are erupting over a new kind of infant formula that comes in chocolate and vanilla flavors. The LA Times reports bloggers and nutritionists are worried the sugary flavors will cause toddlers to crave sweets. Really, though, these kids are entering a world of deep-fried Snickers bars and food innovations like the bacon explosion. So I'm thinking it's probably not such a bad idea to start training early. Seriously, the bacon explosion. You can Google it. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.